First, thousands of people who aided the U.S. in Afghanistan suddenly left their lives behind last August when the Taliban seized control of the country's capital and the American military evacuated their allies. Those evacuees are finally arriving at their new homes in Wisconsin and across the country in recent months. As Hope Kerwin reports, in collaboration with PBS Wisconsin, some Afghans say they're preparing to navigate the culture shock and potential immigration barriers they'll face as they start their new lives.
Shir Khan, his wife, and three children arrived at Fort McCoy in western Wisconsin in September. At first, their days were filled with immigration paperwork and getting used to their new surroundings. But waiting for their resettlement placement in Massachusetts became harder as winter weather forced them inside and left them with little to do. Before finally leaving for their new home in mid-January, Khan said they were most looking forward to having privacy again after living in a communal barracks with several other families.
People from different backgrounds came here. Like sometimes it is noisy inside. Sometimes we don't get along well.
Khan is a journalist. In Kabul, he worked for a company that implemented U.S.-funded projects. Khan said he had no plans to leave his home country before Kabul fell to the Taliban last August. His work made him a target of the armed Islamist group, and he wanted his children to get a better education than what would be possible under Taliban rule. But leaving their life behind hasn't been easy.
I was part of the middle class because I had a job, I had a house, I had family and friends, relatives, and connections with the people who were somehow in power. But when we came here, like, we lost control of almost everything.
Khan said he's grateful that he and his family survived and are now safe, but he knows adjusting to life in America will be difficult at first. He hopes his new neighbors will be understanding.
I might speak English. That's understandable, but that doesn't necessarily mean I know every single thing about the culture. That's why some people, including me, might behave strangely.
This culture shock is something Matula Mate and his family are navigating 1 month after arriving at their new home in Wausau. Mate says there are a lot of new systems to learn, like American traffic signals.
If the traffic light be the red, they might be crossing and thinking this is the walkway.
Mate is a tribal leader from southern Afghanistan. He worked for the U.S. Marines for 5 years, helping to recruit local workers for infrastructure projects. Mate says those military connections are what helped him escape with his wife and 6 children shortly after the Taliban's takeover. After months of staying on a military base in Virginia, they now live in a small 2-story home within walking distance of a bus stop and grocery store. Mate says his family has gotten a warm welcome in Wausau, and he's enjoyed getting to know his new neighbors, sometimes hosting them in his home over milk tea.
We are Afghans, like having more guests.
Mate says he's working on plans to start his own business, but his biggest worry is that his application for a special immigration visa, often called an SIV, hasn't been approved yet.
That is not only difficult for me or problem for me, that is the problem for all Afghans, especially for those people whom can't speak English.
He imagines for non-English speakers, the process can feel like fumbling in the dark. Because of their work for the U.S., Mate and Shir Khan are able to apply for an SIV. Other Afghans are eligible for special priority in the U.S. Refugee Admissions Program because of their work or identity. But Madison-based immigration attorney Grant Sovereign says everyone else will have to quickly apply for asylum once they reach their new address. And he agrees with Mate that many would struggle to navigate the process on their own.
It is inherently difficult for somebody who doesn't speak the language, has just come from a traumatic situation, which is basically anyone applying for asylum, and not having the means to get that kind of help.
Sovereign says Congress could create an easier path to residency for evacuees, but he thinks that's unlikely given the controversy around immigration. Mate says he's still hopeful that policymakers will take action to help Afghans like him. He says residency would allow him to travel one day and offer him security about his future in the U.S. Hope Kerwin, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Hope Kerwin joins us now for more. Hope, welcome back to the show.
Happy to be here.
And Marissa Wojcik is series producer for Here and Now on PBS Wisconsin. She's been reporting on this story as well. You can find links to both of their reporting at WPR.org/Central Time. Marissa, thanks for joining us.
Happy to be here as well.
Hope, let's start with you. We just heard some of the conversations you had with evacuees. One thing that stuck out is that Fort McCoy here in Wisconsin is just one step of many that these families have taken. What kind of things did people tell you about what the journey from Afghanistan to Wisconsin has been like?
Right. There were many steps in their journey, even before they made it to military bases like Fort McCoy. For many people, even just making it to the airport in the capital city of Kabul was a harrowing journey in and of itself. But after they left Afghanistan, most folks went to a military base in another country, often Germany or Qatar, where they received immigration screening. From there, they traveled to the U.S. and eventually made their way to one of eight military bases, including Fort McCoy. There, they went through more immigration processing and then simply had to wait for one of the U.S.'s resettlement agencies here in the U.S. to find a new community for them to settle in. And so I definitely heard from both of the people that I talked to that waiting process was at times difficult. Both people expressed a lot of gratitude for being able to come to the U.S., for being able to leave their situation in Afghanistan that put them at risk. However, you know, leaving a stable life where you have your own home and a routine and, you know, neighbors, connections, and transitioning to living in a communal barracks, often with several other families who you don't know, who are maybe from different backgrounds or used to different ways of living. There's definitely a lot of change there. I mean, I spoke with one person who talked about, you know, just a sheet being able to, you know, separate his family with three small children from other families and trying to navigate if someone wants to listen to music, but someone wants to read a book. How do you navigate those differences?
And Marissa, you've also been reporting on this. You focused, among other things, on the legal system that refugees have to navigate. What kind of things did you hear were big challenges or even roadblocks for people?
Yeah, so as you know, this happened very, very quickly, and a lot of things had to be figured out for this massive scale of people in a very short amount of time. And no matter what, the United States legal system and the immigration system is the immigration system. So people who came from Afghanistan, at first it was expected that most people were going to be coming on special immigrant visas, which are given out when people have been working with the United States. However, again, because this happened so quickly, that process can take up to 3 years in certain cases. And so people either were somewhere in the midst of that process or they hadn't started it yet. And normally that happens when the person is not inside the United States already. So it was very confusing as to how to go about this. And then on top of that, you need to still have maintained the connection to whatever military personnel or United States company that you worked for and have all the documentation. So there's so many different steps. So because a lot of special immigrant visas were really just kind of not possible in the chaos of this evacuation, an attorney, an immigration attorney that I spoke with, estimated roughly 50 to 60% of Afghan refugees who have come to the United States are under what's called this temporary parole status. And this specific parole status was for these Afghan refugees and it lasts 2 years. And very, very specifically, because immigration is not simple, it's parole status for humanitarian purposes. And even immigration attorneys were getting confused because on the flip side, there's something completely different called humanitarian parole, but it's not the same thing. And so now people have to start applying for asylum if they are under this temporary parole status. And the asylum process, again, within the U.S. immigration system is very complicated. And if people don't get that process started and finished within 2 years, there is potential that they could be deported and taken back to Afghanistan. And there's very limited legal services. So there's concern right now that immigration attorneys, especially working pro bono, will be able to handle the cases in front of them.
and hope. It sounds like there's a lot of uncertainty. Legal, as Marissa was just talking about, issues about what job people will have, where they're going to live. Do you, in talking to a couple of the evacuees there, do you get a sense of kind of a hunger to at least get something stable going and start this whole new chapter in their lives?
Yeah, I mean, I think that both of the, you know, Afghan men that I spoke with, both, you know, had already been thinking about what they hoped their life would look like here in the U.S., right? I mean, this is kind of the situation that they've been thrust into. And so they are just thinking about, you know, what they hope to do, if they can return to, you know, working in their previous careers. I spoke to one man who is a journalist, as was heard in my feature. And, you know, he was thinking about, you know, how can he get back into journalism and start contributing positively again. You know, he talked about being frustrated that he wasn't really making a difference or being able to do work that makes a difference when he was spending time on base. So I definitely think that was like a common theme that I heard of people eager to kind of start their lives here, but also being intimidated by that process, thinking about how different life in America is going to be for them, and kind of having to learn all new systems, like how to ride a bus or even things like when to cross the street as a pedestrian. Mm. You know, those are very different here in the U.S. than they were in Afghanistan. And so, you know, they both talked about it would, you know, Afghans like themselves are just going to need time to learn those things. And they're also going to need their new neighbors to be patient and even maybe generous with their time to reach out and help them.
And Marissa, as we wrap up, the coverage this week involved PBS, WPR, WisContext. What parts of this story are you keeping an eye on next for maybe potential reporting down the road?
Yeah, as people are seeking different services and especially legal immigration services, we're keeping in touch with the attorneys, the immigration attorneys that that gave us some information in this story. And basically, understanding how that process is going for people and seeing if there are certain kind of bureaucratic holdups or anything like that that are preventing people from finding kind of safe legal asylum passages to the United States. That's probably the biggest thing that we are focusing on. And I'll say that at least in Madison, it seems like the Afghan folks that are resettling in the area are connecting and helping one another and translating and finding cultural orientation. And so there might be some reporting in that area as well.
We'll leave it there. Marissa, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
And Hope, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you.
Hope Kerwin is a WPR reporter based in La Crosse. Marissa Wojcik is the assistant news director for PBS Wisconsin. They talked with us today about the reporting on the resettlement process for Afghan refugees. You can find a link to their stories at WPR.org/Central Time. In just a minute, we'll talk with the head of Wisconsin Resettlement Agency based in the Fox Valley, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have about the process of getting settled in a new home, how it works for these evacuees from Afghanistan? Have you been involved in this process? Have you volunteered helping out with this kind of work before? Is the refugee system part of your family's story? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our talk about where the resettlement process stands for people who fled Taliban rule in Afghanistan last August. Some of them ended up at Fort McCoy in Wisconsin and are now finding homes here in the state and around the country. Tammy McLaughlin joins us now, Office Director for World Relief Fox Valley in Appleton. Tammy, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Rob. It's always great to be with you.
Can you talk a bit about what it's been like, what kind of things your group has been doing since those first families from Afghanistan arrived in the Fox Valley, I think back in November?
Yeah, so we've been welcoming Afghan newcomers. What that means is securing housing, furnishing that housing. We meet them at the airport. If they come from Fort McCoy, they're driven here. So we meet them either at their new home or some are staying in hotels until we find permanent housing. We're enrolling people in schools and benefits and making medical appointments. We're just really, really, really busy. A lot of it is very task-based type items. And it's really just to help people land and stabilize well when they get here.
What kind of things are you hearing from evacuees about what they're hoping for here in Wisconsin?
Well, the first thing, warmer weather. And that truly has been one of the points in every conversation that we've had. This is a hard place to welcome people. We've had such a cold snap. But we assure people that our spring and summer and falls are much, much more beautiful. But they, you know, seriously, truly, again, that is a concern for some of the people. But I just really want to start settling. You know they have to start over. They've left so much behind, and that includes not only family and friends, but possessions and homes and educations and careers, and just really have to start over. So they're ready and willing to get started as soon as possible.
As we heard from our reporters there, part of the story is the culture shock, moving from Afghanistan to Wisconsin very quickly. Things like crossing the street even are open questions. What are some of the little things that you're finding are common themes or questions from people from Afghanistan?
Those same types of things. I think we hear more of the bigger issues about a family. My family's still there. Do you think, you know, we'll be able to be reunited? What about the immigration process, which you've recently discussed, you know, just minutes ago? So those types of things are still those big things that they're concerned about. So we try and just, you know, give them a sense of peace. Hey, let's focus on this right now. Let's focus on what's set before you. Let's get your kids enrolled in school. Let's get you enrolled in English classes, because that's also something very important to them. They want to learn, and they want to learn English, and they want their kids to be educated here. So although it's a high level, like big worry, we just try and say, hey, let's take it day by day and do the simple things, and you'll start seeing progress.
Talking to Tammy McLaughlin with World Relief Fox Valley in Appleton, looking at the resettlement process for Afghan evacuees, settling some of them in the Appleton area. Tammy, what kind of response have you gotten from local volunteers and community groups?
Incredible response. We are so pleased and so thrilled at the response of the community. We have a model called Good Neighbor Teams, which is a church that walks the churches, small groups that walk alongside refugee families. And they've been at the airport. We had one the other night at 10:45 there at the airport meeting, waiting to welcome their family. I mean, what better sense of, hey, I'm welcomed here, I'm wanted here and received here, than to have new friends meeting you at the airport? You know, we've had volunteers help with grocery shopping, simple things like haircuts, some pretty big things like taking people to medical appointments. We have a family who has two children who need to go to Green Bay twice a week for medical treatments. I mean, it's a huge scale, small scale, and everything in between. And we couldn't do this work that we're doing without the support and partnership of community partners, as well as volunteers that have really stepped into this resettlement effort.
Is there any kind of particular need right now of kinds of donations or particular volunteer needs or anything else that you're looking at right now?
We'll just continue to, onboard volunteers. We take that very seriously. We want to train people well, help them understand culture, help them understand the Afghan experience, those types of things. And then we will continue to pair people as much as we can, because we know that extra support and enhancement of what we're trying to teach, you know, if partners are walking alongside, reiterating that and practicing, that just makes for a better experience and more, a deeper resettlement and deeper roots when you have that community reinforcement. So we're just going to continue to onboard volunteers as many as we can and continue to pair up as much as we can. We think that's really critical, not only short term, but long term too. You know, some things take longer to get a sense of. So we know that this is not a short term effort. It's not a 30, 60, 90 day. We want to continue to walk alongside our newcomers as long as we can.
You joined us over the past few years and talked about a big drop in the number of refugees under Trump administration rules. Now here's a big group coming all at once. Was it kind of going from 0 to 60 for you real quick?
What do they say? You're building the plane as you're flying it. Uh-huh. Yeah, it's been a heavy lift because it's, you know, we have a mass amount of people coming and we're trying to rebuild our staff, from the past several years. So, again, couldn't have done this effort without volunteers. We also know this has been difficult for partners because they also haven't been staffed up. But one of the benefits in the Fox Valley is we are resettling in Menasha and Appleton and Oshkosh. So we have partners in all three of those locations. So that has spread, you know, the volume in some respects. And I think that's made it a little easier on partners. But again, the volunteers have been incredibly amazing and beneficial and impactful in this resettlement initiative.
In just our last minute, is there anything about either the evacuees you've worked with or the resettlement process that you think gets left out of the conversation or the media coverage you've seen?
Well, we've alluded to it, but, you know, the resettlement program, this program was designed by our Congress to be a public and private partnership, a collaborative effort amongst many sectors of a community. And I've been working in resettlement for 8 years. I have never seen that collaborative effort unfold like it has the past couple of months. It's been inspiring and encouraging just to see the community surround this, you know, our newcomers like they have. And again, this is the way it was designed to be. So it's really, really been just a privilege to work in this environment in such a collaborative community. And I think all of our Wisconsin communities are equally as collaborative. Thank you.
Tammy, thanks again for joining us today.
Oh, thank you. Really appreciate your interest and all you do for us. Thank you.
That's Tammy McLaughlin, Office Director for World Relief Fox Valley, based in Appleton. She talked to us about her group's work in resettling evacuees from Afghanistan. Earlier, we talked to WPR reporter Hope Kerwin and Marissa Wojcik from PBS Wisconsin about their coverage of the issue. You can find their stories over at WPR.org/Central Time.